I come from a very poor background, and we had no money for food at times, quite literally. And it was rough. So I want to make sure money wasn't an issue for my future family. So I figured out how to make money. You don't do that by some new strategy. It's a psychological shift as well as a strategy shift. It's not about money. It's like growth. It's really your capacity to take your creativity and stop trading time for money. It's time to become the chess player, not the chess piece. Yeah. Let me teach you so you understand what's going on. It's not that complex. They use all these big words.
Yeah.
But when you know what's going on, you don't get screwed. And more importantly, you take advantage of the system instead of letting the system take advantage of you. Here's the truth. 96% of mutual funds don't match the market. That means 4% succeed. Mm. Now, what are your chances of picking the right mutual fund? Because one of the things Ray Dalio taught me, he said, Tony, everybody invests in what they think they know. He said, whatever you invest in your lifetime, that area is going to drop 50 to 70%. There is zero exception. He can show you mathematically, and he can show you historically. So he said, you have to diversify, even though you don't want to. And you have to divide these monies up. When you think you're in a balanced portfolio, you're not balanced. And the reason is, stocks are three times more volatile than you'll find in bonds. Mm. What does that mean? You're 50-50 with your money, but you're not 50-50 with your risk. You're 95% at risk and 5% on the good side. That's why everybody loses. When you interview people that make at least $750,000 a year, right, just under a million, 80% of them say they'll never retire. When you interview people that make a very little amount of money, they all talk about wanting to retire. And the people that do retire say they'll retire after 75. Because the real goal is not to have to work. If you don't work, you will start raving mad, because we all need to be productive to feel alive. So people's mistake is, and kids don't know this, adults don't know this, that you won't earn your way there, but you can compound your way there. I don't believe in emotional intelligence. I think it's useful, but I'm more interested in emotional fitness, because intelligence is a capability. Fitness is a state of readiness. If you are fit, you can take that demand right now and you can deal with it. You can deal with that physical stress, that emotional stress. Same thing's true with psychological fitness, emotional fitness, right? So I'm pretty fit. And part of that is not because I'm so smart. Part of it is that I've taught this for decades. The most powerful muscles to me are not physical, they're as strong, as important as they are. It's like faith is a muscle, courage is a muscle, determination is a muscle, playfulness is a muscle. You know, passion unexpressed weakens. You know, faith untested gets smaller. Yeah. So I'm always, I call it deep practice. I'm always pushing myself to the edge, and pushing yourself to the edge makes you stronger. But when things are bad, people think it's going to be bad forever. When things are good, they think it's going to be good forever. And they're always wrong. Life's cyclical. If you got $1 billion and every day you live pissed off and frustrated, the quality of your life is called pissed off and frustrated.
Right.
But if you have nothing, but you're euphorically grateful for whatever you have, you're the richest person that you're going to know. He said, so it doesn't matter how much money you got if you don't have gratitude. Because I believe you have to condition it. You don't just hope that stuff shows up.
So what are you most grateful for recently in your life? Gosh.
So many things. You know, I've buried three fathers and one mother, and, you know, that affects your life. I've had a physician look me in the eye and say, you have a tumor in your brain.
Wow.
And so I've had those moments that when you've had extreme stress and you push your way through it, you build psychological muscle. It's like, it takes a lot to knock me off. Well, you keep expanding what I would call really the threshold of your influence. You know, everybody has a threshold of control. And if you get beyond it, you kind of freak out. So I was working 18-hour days and nothing was working and I was broke and I felt embarrassed, you know, I should be doing better than this.
Sure.
And so I was driving home from Orange County on the 57 freeway in San Gabriel Valley. If I remember it so vividly, because it was almost midnight. And I was at this breaking point. And then I was like, why am I not, you know, doing better? And then I just pulled over the road, and I used to keep these journals. I still have them, written journals. And I wrote in big lines, you know, the secret to living is giving. And I started to cry. And I realized, I am so focused on what am I not getting.
Receiving.
I'm not focusing on what I'm giving.
Yeah.
So for 6 months, man, it turned me around. But then, you know, something else had to get in your body. It was in my head. It was in my heart. But it had to get in there to stay. And I started going through some really tough times. And I lost everything financially. Mm. And I was mad at everybody because, like, I loaned a friend $1,000. And, you know, I'd been doing well. And he didn't even return my phone call. And I thought, you know what? I got to eat. So I'm not going to drive my car because I'm not going to spend the gas. I'm not going to pay for parking. I'm going to go to an all-you-can-eat place and load up for the winter, right? So I can get more, like, one meal a day. So I walked there for the 3 miles, and I go, okay, I'm going to go ahead and load up. And it was all about myself and getting through this. And this woman walked through the door. I got a very attractive lady. That's probably why I caught my jacket. And I'm waiting to see who her boyfriend is, and there's nobody up there. There's a little guy down here. It was obviously her son. And he's wearing this three-piece suit. He opens the door for her. He pulls out the chair for her. He stared into his mother's eyes. I mean, it was just pierced into her eyes. I don't know what it was, but something about him was just so moving. He was such a sweet, caring, loving young man to his mother that moved me. So I paid for my meal, walked up to this young man, introduced myself, and I had no plan. Literally, I just reached in my pocket, took all the money I had, changed dollar bills, and threw it right there in front of him. He looked at me like this. He goes, "I can't take that." I said, "Sure you can." And I just walked out the door. But the reason I tell you the story is I had no car. I had no money. And what I felt was I should have been like, what the hell did you just do? I have no meal. What are we going to eat? I went home that night. I laid out a plan. And the plan was going to take me, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks. So I thought, well, people fast for a week. I could fast for a week, you know, that type of thing. And I have this great mindset about it. And I woke up the next morning and I get the old regular snail mail shows up. And it's this guy I've called a zillion times. He wouldn't return my call. I open it up. There's a check, $1,000 plus interest and an apology.
Wow.
So I'm sitting there and I started to cry, honestly. And I was just like, why did this happen, you know? And I don't know if it's true, but I decided that day this happened because I did the right thing. Because I didn't have a plan. It wasn't a strategy. I just felt this little soul beside me. I knew it was right and I did it. And I didn't do it because I thought I could or I couldn't. I didn't even think about it. And that's the day I became a wealthy man because I didn't have any money. But scarcity left my body. You don't ever get beyond scarcity. You start behind it. You make a decision to get beyond it. And I have plenty of ups and downs since that time, various times in my life. But every interaction to me is an important interaction. And sometimes that interaction is just being kind. I know it sounds stupid, but kindness can, to the right place at the right time. You know, somebody can be suicidal. You don't know it. They're being kind. It changes their state. But every single day, you got to feed and strengthen your mind. Until you do that, you're always going to be in fear. Because fear is automatic. The human brain is designed for survival. It's not designed for success. Your brain is not designed to make you happy. That's your job. And when you start seeing that somebody else can do it, and you see they really did, you start to believe. You start to get certainty. Massive action and constantly change your approach. And then it's find somebody worse off than you are and help them. Because when you do that, it gets you out of yourself. I feel like life is short. And while you're here, I want to have the most impact that I can. So I go deep and I go wide.
What's your definition of greatness?
To me, being great is being outstanding, to stand out from all the rest. And as you know, in sports, it can be by, you know, a few microseconds. If you stand out, you show other people what's possible. Not everybody likes that. Some people get angry and think you're showing them up. Other people get inspired. I've always been inspired by somebody who's the best in the world at what they do. And so I think greatness is somebody who just will not settle and finds a way to do, be, share, and create in life what they want. As opposed to fitting in. I think most people are trying to not be rejected. But if you want to have a quality life, I think you just have to put yourself on the line. And so to me, greatness is people that put themselves on the line, they keep growing, they won't settle. So I want to give people freedom. You know, to me, that's valuable. But, you know, what I do with my life is I look at what I see that moves me. So when I find things that I'm very passionate about, I like to go deep. I think we live in a Facebook world, a Twitter world, a tweeting world, texting world, where people are, by technology, not realizing they're becoming more and more shallow. I mean, there are people ending relationships by texting. And I think a lot of people are dissatisfied because technology is making us go faster and faster. So I look for things to go deep in. And I think in our lives, there's a few areas that matter. Your body, your emotions, your spirit, your relationships, you know, your economics, your business. Those half dozen or so areas I like going deep in, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.